Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And we have a lot of it today. We have a very hope-filled story to share with you. And you may or may not be aware, but November is actually National Adoption Month. Believe it or not, it was designated as this in 1995 by then President Bill Clinton. We've been celebrating it ever since, although stories of adoption go far before that and continue to go. Personally, I love stories of adoption. It really shows God's heart. And we know that He is a father to the fatherless and that He cares about orphans. He cares about kids who don't have families. And we can really demonstrate God's love by being families in those kinds of situations. And my guest today is going to share her own story of adoption and even going further than that to start a ministry to help others continue their own adoption journey. I'm so grateful to have my friend and colleague here, Dr. Laura Butler. She is a nurse. She is an obstetric nurse. She's worked in labor and delivery and all kinds of women's and health environments. And she and her husband, Doug, co-founded a national nonprofit called Inspiring Orphan Care, which strives to live out James 1:27. And their mission is to inspire people to help the orphan crisis as Christ has called us to do, either by adoption or supporting those families who are in an adoption journey. So their nonprofit awards adoption scholarships to families who have been called to adopt, and they serve children and help children have a forever family, which is so exciting. And Dr. Butler also serves in her local church, mentoring new moms, supporting adoptive families. There's so much good in the world that she does. And Laura, we're so grateful to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here this morning.
Well, Laura, we would just love to hear your story of how you came to know the Lord and how He called you to a life of faith.
Absolutely. I love talking about this story because it's such a, sometimes we get kind of dull in our boring stories, but over the years I've learned to embrace my boring story. I grew up in a Christian home. It was kind of just something that we did on Sunday, though. It wasn't something that we lived out. And so I can remember at an early age just really hearing the Holy Spirit just kind of speak to me. And there's a couple times in my life that I can pinpoint to where the Lord was just speaking to me and protecting me from some certain family issues. And I can remember at 8 years old at our church just kind of recognizing that I was a sinner and that I needed more of Jesus and to live a life that honored Him. And I began my journey like any, you know, Baptist girl, went to church and vacation Bible school her whole life. And it wasn't until probably early into college that I remember somebody I ran into in high school, and they said, "Oh, I didn't know you were a believer in high school." And it took me by surprise. I was thinking, "Oh my gosh, what do you mean? Like, I never did anything wrong. I had the Christian T-shirts from all the concerts," and it just really was kind of a moment in my life that I thought, it's so much more than just some secret little decision that you make. You really have to have a life that is, you know, centered around the Lord, and that people can come to know you through your life and through the decisions that you make, that you're not afraid to trust Him. And so at that point in my young 20s, I realized, I was like, okay, it's more than just getting my little insurance in life. I really have to be able to make sure my life is different. Doug and I just began to pray and give our marriage and give our family to the Lord. And I was baptized when I was little, but I've always just kind of recognized that the Lord wants us to be more than just good girls. He wants us to do great things for Him. And so over our life, we've just been convicted of that, to truly trust the Lord with our finances, with our home, with our children, and that He has done so much for us that, you know, we want to be able to be honorable to Him in all areas of our life.
I love the way that you said that. The Lord wants us to be more than good girls. He wants us to do great things. That is such a great word of encouragement because He does. And I love that He can use ordinary stories. And it is encouraging, Laura, to know that you can come to know the Lord. You can grow up in a home without trauma or a terrible story, you know, that God can use people and stories like that. And I think that's encouraging for people who do have a more difficult story, you know, because we know that we can create those new beginnings for our families. Even people who maybe didn't experience that, you can create that for your family. And that is always just the goodness of God and the blessing of God. So how did you meet Doug and start your family?
Well, I won't take credit for that comment. I do remember reading that from Louis Giglio. He wrote that in a Bible study, so I won't take credit, but I've tried to live my life according to that. Now, speaking of Louis Giglio, Doug actually graduated from Baylor in the 90s, and he had the opportunity of really sitting underneath him. But he was a little bit older than I was. I was finishing high school at our home church in Deer Park, and he was still finishing up his graduate degree from Baylor and coming home on the weekends and leading worship for the youth group. And I just finished high
love
school.
It.
And so I had finished high school. It was that summer afterwards. And my famous words is, I would say, who's that guy with a goatee? You know, he was up there playing bass and leading worship for Sunday night services. And then a friend introduced us, and we dated for a couple years and then got married. So we're about to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary this next year. So super, super fun.
That is a really big deal. Honestly, that is a big deal. I'm right there with you, Laura. My husband and I have been married, well, he says 27 years. It's actually 26, but that's okay. He said that, you know, it's just been so great. He added another year on there. But looking around and arriving at this place, you know, with our peers, I'm starting to realize how precious that is, what a gift that is to have such a long tenured marriage. And I'm sure you would agree with me, Laura. It is not easy, but, you know, because we're human. We are human and we make mistakes. But God, that is the, I don't know, you and I have talked about that. That is the only saving grace in our lives. And so tell us about how God started to call your heart. When did you first have an idea that you might be on a journey to adopt? Is it something you always felt, or is it something new that the Lord put on your heart? How did that exactly unfold?
So my sister is actually adopted, and so we always, you know, kind of had adoption in our family, but I never in a million years would think that'd be something I did because I saw the hard part of it. I'm not going to lie. And so I just was like, okay, Lord, I know I want biological children, you know, but it wasn't until, again, I was doing that Bible study with my daughter, Jordan, that we got to the end about, okay, God wants you to do more than just be a good girl. He wants you to do great things for Him. And so our littlest at the time, Carson, he was about to start kindergarten. And I was kind of like, okay, Lord, what's next for our life? You know, what can we do? What do you want us to do that would be something great? And, you know, do I need to go back to work full time? Do we need to move to Africa? You know, we're just kind of praying over all the things. And it really was just kind of like that red flashing light in our life that the Lord kind of just said, well, do you trust me? And of course we were, you know, battling with that. Of course, Lord, we trust you. And he was like, yeah, but do you trust me with your family? Do you trust me with your finances? And of course, at the time, you know, you think about, okay, I've been kind of working PRN my whole life. Do we have enough money for Baylor? You know,
yeah.
In a couple of years, like all the things that I'm thinking about. And the Lord just kept saying that, do you trust me? And so we both were very humbled and got on our knees and said, Lord, we do trust you. What does this look like? And little by little, just things started popping up in our life. I began planning a medical mission trip to Haiti with some of my girlfriends and many of them that you know. And that was probably back in 2013. And I just remember just doing all the research for Haiti. It was the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Maternal death was over 50%, and the child trafficking for young girls. And as I was planning this trip, I would always come to the dinner table and say, hey, did y'all know Haiti is blah, blah, blah. And finally, we were talking about adoption, and I was like, I don't know, babe. You know, I worked with one of our colleagues in some foster care vulnerability, taking nursing students into the homes. And I was like, I don't know if we can do that. And then Africa, you know, you have to go live there for a month. I don't know if we can do that. And we have small children. And we started talking about, like, well, what would it look like? Well, could we, would we? And then one time my husband said, why don't we ask the kids what they think? I was like, yes, because they will think this is the most craziest idea, you know. And so I was like, okay, yes. And at that time they were, you know, literally like 5, 8, and 11. And we sat down one night and we said, hey guys, you know, the Lord's kind of pressed this thing on our heart. We want to just kind of put it to you guys because it'll affect our family. And what do you think about adopting a little girl, possibly from Haiti? And they literally looked at us like, well, why wouldn't we do this? And they said those exact words, Jessica. And
oh,
I thought,
goodness.
Oh my gosh, we couldn't even talk ourselves out of this if we tried at this point, you know? And so we began just to be rejoiced that their hearts were already open to it. And so we prayed for all the countries, foster care, Africa, Haiti, China, and there was so much going on in the other countries. And then one day we were sitting on the couch and Doug said, hey, do you remember that song I wrote a few years back about Haiti? And because at that point, it was a few years after the earthquake in 2010. I was like, yeah, I remember. He said, let me go back out to the music room and get this song. So he went out and got the song and he brought it back in. And the first part of the song, Jessica said, look into the eyes of a little Haitian girl.
You're kidding.
Like,
you're kidding.
I mean, we're going to make this up. And so we literally looked at each other and we're like, oh my gosh, it has to be Haiti. So for our family, Haiti was that flashing light. And so we would be dishonorable to the Lord if we didn't go that route. And so, of course, I think we the Lord chose the most hardest country ever. And and so we began the process, and the whole process took about 3.5 years. That's kind of what got us on the road and our journey to our sweet Anna.
I have goosebumps, honestly, Laura. I really do, because that, you know, you look at those things and you know that our God is not a God of coincidence. You know, these things don't just happen because, oh, wow, isn't that an amazing coincidence? But you've described very clearly your path of obedience, of submitting to God's will, saying, I was just taking some notes as you were talking. You said, do I go back to work full time? Do I go to Africa? Like, you know, I mean, anything was on the table. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of getting to submission to God's will and to whatever God may have for you. And that is absolutely great thing. So, and I can't even believe that about Doug's song. I think that's just absolutely beautiful. So I want to know
more
details. Yeah. Go ahead.
One more confirmation I want to tell you, because God is so good. Whenever we got our match with Anna, we had to go to Haiti for 2 weeks. And on her paperwork, it just had her first and her last name, her given last name. It didn't have anything about a middle name. And so while we were down there, Hurricane Matthew was a Category 5 hurricane that was coming to that little small country. And I remember getting alerts on my phone that said, you know, if you're an American, you need to leave. But we couldn't leave because we had to be there for 2 weeks or we would go back to square one, our adoption process. And so we knew we had to be there because then we would go home for a year and then go back and pick her up when her paperwork went through. So we knew this was such a valuable 2 weeks. So we just hunkered down. We were like, we're from Houston. We can do hurricanes. We got this, you know. But at the time, during the there's going to be 3 days that we weren't going to be able to get to the orphanage or what they call a creche in Haiti. And so I reached out. I boldly remember the Lord waking me up from my sleep and just saying, just ask. And so I asked the orphanage director, could you bring Anna to our guest house? That way we could spend these 3 days with her that we aren't going to be able to get to the creche when the water is high. And surprisingly, he said yes. It was the first time he'd ever given permission for an adopted family to have a child, off their campus. And so we just felt such peace about that. So as we're waiting for the storm to blow
going to hold you right there, Laura. We're coming up to a break, but I'm riveted. I want to know what happened. This is an incredible story, Laura. What an amazing miracle of God's grace. And we're in the middle of Hurricane Matthew in Haiti. Listen, do not go away. We're going to be right back on the other side of the break with the rest of this story. Don't you want to know what happened? I cannot wait to know what happened. Remember that November is National Adoption Month. And if you want to know more about Laura's story, go to inspiringorphancare.org. And we'll be right back with the rest of this story. Don't go away. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Looking out my window, feeling the crescendo, sunset on a quiet sea. Sitting with the ones that I'll forever love, we're waiting on a flash of green. And even when the nights got cold, you have always held me close. You're the only rock that I could ever stand on, you're the only one for me. The sun goes up, the sun comes down, this old world keeps spinning round. I'm here traveling down this long and winding road. Seasons come, seasons go, they take me high, then leave me low, but I'm still standing on the only rock I know. You're my cornerstone. Oh, 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 no matter where I go, my cornerstone.
Welcome back, friends. Oh, I love that song. It's so true. Seasons come and seasons go, but we can stand on the rock that is Jesus and this assurance of our faith. Listen, we're talking to my friend, my colleague, my fellow nurse, a great woman of faith, Dr. Laura Butler, about her season where she is adopting. Let me give you some information about some statistics on adoption. November is National Adoption Awareness Month. And in the United States, there are currently about a little over a million children who have at least one adoptive parent. That means if you are not a family who has had a journey of adoption, you know a family who has had a journey of adoption. About 37% of adopted kids in the U.S. come from foster care, 38% from private domestic adoptions, and 25% are international adoptions. Now, on average, children in foster care wait almost 3 years to be adopted. And the latest statistics that I could find from 2022, just under half of children who left foster care were reunited with their families, 27% were adopted, 11% placed in guardianship, and then other kids age out of the foster care system without ever being adopted. The average age of adopted kids is 6, and about a third of them are 9 years or older. And we left you on a cliffhanger. Let me tell you, Dr. Butler, Laura was telling us her story of adoption. And just to catch you up with where we are, God laid the road, gave her children great faith. I think, Laura, the faith of a child, it takes the faith of a child if we only could have that, and laid the groundwork for her to have a heart for a little girl in Haiti. And they've just arrived to Haiti. The Hurricane Matthew is coming, and they have asked, can they see her before the floodwaters rise and make that orphanage inaccessible? So Laura, I'm going to let you take it right back up right there.
So we had the honor of having her come to the guest house, and we were doing sidewalk chalk when the rain started coming in, and there was a sweet girl who went to international school that was staying there as well. So she was kind of helping us translate, because at the time, Anna only spoke Haitian Creole. And so there was a little bit of a language barrier. There's only so much you can do with sign language. And so as we were outside doing sidewalk chalk, the little girl asked Anna, "Hey, what is your name?" And so she was writing her name on the ground. And well, she wrote Anna Cherie. And I did a double take and I said, "What did you say that was her middle name?" And she says, "Yes." And remember, they didn't tell us anything about a middle name. They just told us her first name and her given last name. And so I looked at it and it was spelled C-H-E-R-I. And Jessica, I don't know if you know this story, but that's actually my middle name.
That you have told me that before and I'm still getting goosebumps. I mean, see, this is God in the details, just giving you just such an affirmation of your faith. Oh, I got goosebumps.
Of all the children in the world, the Lord definitely connected us with Anna. And we joke even today on her gotcha day, I'm like, "I'm so glad we got you." And she always says, "No, I got y'all," you know, so she kind of has her own little twist of gotcha day. So we definitely know that the Lord has wrote a beautiful story with just us matching with her and her being the most, sweetest little girl at the crash and just kind of a caregiver to the little kids. And there was one story that I remember looking over and she was giving her leftover rice and beans to a little child that had some hip dysplasia and couldn't get to the table to eat. And I just thought, "Oh Lord, you even have a little future nurse in the making." She was so sweet, so caring. So anyway, but yeah, the Lord has been so sweet on our adoption journey. And I think becoming an adoptive mom has been one of the most profound experiences of my life, to be honest with you. You know, the journey has taught me so much about the beauty of unconditional love and the incredible strength that's found in building a family through adoption. And it's opened my heart to the needs of the world. And I think that's where it kind of steered into the nonprofit, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute. But it's just been such a beautiful, hard, but what a gift it has been to be able to say yes to something that less than 2% of the population ever is bold enough to say yes to. So.
Well, yes, let's lean into that a little bit, Laura, because I know that there are people out there listening who God has put a little tug on their heart and keeps sending little signs, much like you described that you were getting. And they know that that is something the Lord is asking them to be open to, but, you know, they're just not sure. What advice would you give to people who are considering their own adoption journey or story?
The first thing is to pray, because if it's not, I think the Lord will press ideas upon our hearts, and we have to figure out with anything, if it's about a new car or moving to, you know, New York or whatever it is in your life, the first thing should always be, "Lord, is this from you?" And one way that we can get that confirmation is digging into His Word. And it's kind of like tithing. God's already asked us to do that, so we probably don't really need to ask Him if we should do it because it's already been laid out in the Bible. As you mentioned in James, the Lord has already been very clear about we need to do this. We have to help the fatherless. And so it's already been a commandment. And so it really is wrestling with your own heart and what that looks like for your family and being bold enough to say yes, because He's already told you to do it. And so the next steps I always recommend is just making sure that you as a couple are on the right page, because there's many families that we've met over the years have said, "Oh, I would love to do that, but, you know, my spouse would never do that," or whatever the situation is. And there's a lot of ways to get involved with orphan care. I don't want anybody to forget that if you can't actually adopt a child, and there's so many other ways. But the first is to pray. The second is to make sure you are in agreement with a couple, because just like with any type of extra stress in a marriage, it will put extra more stress on just your relationships. You want to make sure that you guys are on the same page. And the third thing is just to start looking into all the different options, because once your eyes are open to the needs of the world, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't think there was this many decisions. It's almost like when you have your first baby, you have so many options about diapers and what kind of things to buy. You know, it's the same thing with adoption, because there's, you know, domestic, there's international, but then even within domestic, there's private, there's open, and there's foster care to adoption, or if you just want to foster care. And international, there's a whole nother level of that. You know, what country, what are the requirements? And so to really have to ask questions and be able to find agencies that have a good reputation in the adoption community. I specifically just started asking agencies about references. And so I would talk to families that had used that agency before. And so I wanted to make sure that we were in an agency that was accredited and also for the country that had to fall under the Hague Convention, which is, it follows the international adoption laws. And so then that's kind of the first three steps that I would always recommend people. And then talk to families that you know that have done it. We had a family that was in our wedding that adopted a little girl from China many years ago. And I just kind of reached out to her at first to say, hey, tell me about this. And find somebody that you can ask the hard questions to, because you feel embarrassed about asking, how much does it cost? And, you know, like, mm-hmm. or how does it, yeah. you know, what does that look like for your bio kids? And so you find somebody that's been on that journey that can kind of give you the, what we call the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, just so you can be, and not to deter people, just to be prepared for that, to be honest with you, because shame on us to ever walk through anything without being prepared that it's not always going to be butterflies and roses, right? There's going to be hard mm-hmm. moments because adoption is based on loss. And so all we're going to be doing is building up from loss. And so on both sides, you know, to be honest with you. So anyway, mm-hmm. so that's what those were kind of the jump start to get anybody that's interested in this beautiful road of adoption.
Well, I really appreciate you being transparent about the realities of that, because, yeah, it is a journey that's based on loss, and there is pain there. There is, even in the best situation. I mean, even like what you're describing, it's still hard and there still is pain there. And, you know, I think even with your kids being so excited, saying, yes, let's do this, there's still some adjustment that's going to be required and still, you know, really you're reshuffling your whole family life. So how did your kids cope with it? How did you help them to readjust to your new normal and to welcome in their new sibling? How did that go?
So we actually decided to take them with us to Haiti. So we all traveled, we all put on our Baylor t-shirts so we
I
could
love
find
it.
Each other in the airport, easy. and that way we could represent. So we loaded up everybody and we had the honor of flying to Haiti back in 2017, because I wanted them to really be able to see where Anna is from, because we know as she gets older, she's going to ask questions. And, you know, we want all of us to be able to share how beautiful the country is, how beautiful the people are, and how wonderful her crush was and the people who loved her. And just, it wasn't just mama telling her, but it was like everybody would have that same memory. And so, whenever we came home, you know, we kind of all just kind of hunkered down for the first like 2 weeks of bonding. And I kind of took a whole year sabbatical off from working so I could make sure she was bonding and adjusting. And so my kids were very involved with her care at first. It was cute. They all say, well, I'll do her hair, or I'll help her feed her, I'll take her outside to play, you know. So they all kind of took a role in kind of bonding with her specifically. And about a month in, I kind of took them each off to the side and I was like, hey, how do you think it's going? You know, how are you feeling? And it's funny, you would think my kids talk to each other that they said the same thing, but they looked at me and they're like, oh, it's going so much better than we thought. You know, because there's a little girl that's 5 years old. She probably looked about three just from the malnutrition, but she just, mm-hmm. you know, all the wells and whistles of our home, you know, she was touching everything and jumping on everything, you know, and so it was almost like having like this new puppy that we had to like train, like, okay, we don't do that, you know, and so I was kind of worried that they were like, what in the world did we get ourselves into, but they've all just had a really sweet relationship with her, and I think as she's gotten older and just as any, you know, young child is growing through some character building stages, I think their heart gets sad sometimes because they just are like, you know, why, you know, I wish she trusted us more. I wish we didn't have to worry about that. And I was like, I know, but it takes time, you know? And so I think they understand the magnitude of just healing from trauma. And so they probably have more compassion if our hearts are hurt because of it. But we understand that we have to take our feelings out to be able to help her in love and heal her brain and love and heal her heart. So, but yeah, they've all done really well. I'll be honest with you. I was so worried about them adjusting, and I was, you know, probably overcompensating. I wanted her to bond with my husband, and you know, because there are not a lot of men in the orphanage. And so I was concerned about that. And then there's so much pressure on a adopted mom for bonding. That's all you hear about. She's got a bond. If she doesn't bond, you know, and so it was just so much work that had to be put on that. It probably ended up causing a little bit of suffocation for me. And so about 9 months in, I actually kind of switched roles with my husband. I was like, okay, I think now it's time for you to bond with her. I'm going to go spend more time with the biological kids. I'm going to put them to bed. I'm going to, you know, read more with them at night and go on a walk with them. That way I can kind of make sure, you know, I'm not neglecting their needs as well. So it was a little bit of a shuffle as we kind of navigated that first year of her transitioning to a butler.
I love that you're sharing this because, Laura, you know, I think sometimes people, I think you use the term, like, it's all roses, like everything is good. And it is hard. I mean, it, even when God calls you, when he lays out everything so beautifully, you know you're in his will, you know where you're supposed to be, there are still days that are really hard. And that's true, whether that's with our own biological kids we've had or by adopting a kid who's been severely traumatized. I mean, you talked about it, malnourished, been through natural disasters and, you know, been in an orphanage in a very under-resourced, underprivileged area. I mean, all of those things. But I don't know, Laura, I hear so many threads, though, that coming through your story that talk about how you got to the other side of it. You had complete faith. You knew God would provide. You submitted yourself entirely and you were so unselfish. I mean, you talked about taking a year off of work to be there for your kids and to, you know, pay attention to their needs and to the point of your own. I mean, this is just such a beautiful story of laying down your life for another. And I really appreciate you sharing that. And we'll give a shout out to Baylor here, Laura, that Baylor actually is recognized again, just in this last year by the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption as one of the nation's top education institutions offering robust adoption benefits programs. And Baylor was actually ranked number 3 nationally among U.S. education institutions behind only Yale. I'm reading from the press release, behind only Yale and Notre Dame for offering the best overall adoption benefits, including paid parental leave and financial assistance for adoption-related expenses. Wow. And it was also featured on the foster care benefits list for offering paid parental leave to foster parents. So some people may not know that your employer may provide assistance. And if you're looking for a job, that's something to think about, looking for an adoption-friendly workplace. But when we come back, Laura, I want to ask you about your foundation and how your journey of adoption led to your heart for helping others with their own journey of adoption. And you've got me a little teared up here. This is just so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your story. When we come back, more on Laura's adoption journey. And you can go to inspiringorphancare.org. That's inspiringorphancare.org to learn more about the foundation. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may he give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
And if you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're
Welcome back, friends. That song is The Jesus Way by Phil Wickham. And I'm getting a little choked up here. We're having a great time here on the show today. I've got my friend and colleague, fellow nurse and professor at Baylor University, Dr. Laura Butler. She's sharing her story of adoption with her and her husband, Doug, and adopting a beautiful little girl from Haiti, Anna Sherry, a just amazing, miraculous story. And as I was listening to that song, The Jesus Way, thinking, I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. And Laura has just shared her story of God already giving her daughter the same name that she had. And we know that God has given us his name, and we are adopted as children of God. Laura, I want to know, how did this personal journey of adoption lead you to start a nonprofit to help other families have that same kind of journey?
Yes. So, you know, that 3.5 years it took for us from the start of our paperwork until we were able to bring her home, it was a long and hard journey. And through that journey, we had wonderful friends and family members in our community kind of really rally around us. But we would have people kind of come up to us and say, oh, I would love to adopt, but... And as you can probably imagine, 99% of the time, the but was the money. And so that just broke my heart. And I started kind of making a note in my phone. I pulled up my notes and I was like, you know, I won't say these are fake names, but Susie said that, Beth said that, you know, uh-huh. And I had this list of about 10 people that would say that over the same thing would happen. And maybe it was a nurse in me that once you start seeing the need, the process improvement light bulb kind of comes on. And so I went home one day and I was like, honey, I said, it just breaks my heart that money is a barrier for people to say yes, because Jessica, we don't have a money tree in our backyard, but also I'm not afraid of asking the Lord for big things either, because he was so faithful other times in my life that why would I doubt him now for a little bit of money? And so I started talking to Doug about it. I was like, hey, what if we started a nonprofit that we could just help one family, maybe give like one grant away? Because we did learn a lot, too, that we want to also help support people and kind of be that safe place for people to ask questions. And, you know, and so he gave us a tremendous desire to help others, not only just bring a greater awareness to the need of orphan care and the adoption process, but we also found out that, you know, we could meet some needs out there. I'd kind of dabbled a little bit in some fundraising with a nonprofit and our community that I lived in back in Lake City. I would do a Christmas home tour every year, and I would organize it, and we would always pick a nonprofit. So I knew that I could come up with some money. It wasn't like I was selling Amway or anything. I was going to be I'm talking about kids and orphans, you know? So I was like, I think I could probably do something. And so we had such little, I know you've been very sweet to tell us about our faith, but we joke because we just thought maybe if we can just give like one grant a year, like maybe if I can raise $10,000, I'd be so happy, you know? And so we mm-hmm. had such low standards, you know, and girl, we just are so grateful that 7 years in, we helped about 5 to 6 families a year, and we've given over about $350,000. And so it's just been so sweet to see how the Lord has almost, I imagine him with his hand on his hip saying, wow, you need to trust me more with this, you know, because, you know, I found families that on the flip side would say, okay, I don't think I can, I'm too old to adopt, or I don't think that's what the Lord calls us to, but I would love to come to your event, or I would love to buy a t-shirt, or I would love to come to your fun run or whatever event I was having. And so in my brain, it was very simple. If I had people who need the money and I have people who have the money, what if I just connect the dots and begin that bridge part? And so in response to that calling in 2017, even before we brought on a home, that's what's so crazy about it. We had our first event literally just, you know, right when we brought her home. And it's just, and so each year we've just been working to give scholarships to families who've been called to adopt. And then we also inspire to share stories of people to be able to inspire others that are considering or looking ways to help children have a forever family.
Well, it is so inspiring. So I'm on your website and I'm looking at it and you have some testimonials here. And I want to share one that is on your website because I think that our listeners would really be encouraged by hearing it. This is from a dad. A dad wrote this story. He said, "Our story is very similar to something like a lone miner who had devoted his entire life to painstakingly search for that one precious gem, which he knew deep within his heart and was out there buried behind darkness and yet has to be unearthed. My wife, Sharla, and I had been married for 6 years before we decided to begin the adoption process that eventually led us to our wonderful daughter. During those first 6 years, we suffered greatly through a narrative of infertility, which we are still learning to endure. In 2011, we began to consider more seriously an idea that had off and on popped into our hearts and minds throughout that time. Maybe God is wanting us to adopt. I don't want to ignore here just how reluctant I was at times to accept this as our story. It didn't make sense. It wasn't our plan. It wasn't my plan. I was more comfortable to continue blindly swinging my pickaxe than to give it over to God. But I was tired, and my wife's conviction toward this alternative was infectious. I was soon reminded that God sees clearly while we see dimly. And so our adoption process formally began in early 2012. I'll never forget the feeling I got when Sharla called me about the possibility of adopting our daughter. After she explained the case, I knew without hesitation that this match was in fact our daughter. All other matches that we had tipped before didn't have this level of peace and affirmation. It was truly providential. We immediately left what we were doing and headed out of state to meet our daughter. Now, the clouds of our story didn't immediately clear, and rainbows and sunshine didn't miraculously fill our days. We only moved to a new trial. Our daughter was born premature and spent her first weeks in the fighting for her life in a NICU. But as hard as that was, and it most definitely was, as we had many anxious nights full of fearful and lonely tears, we never doubted it being his story for us. And when hasn't a precious gem been unearthed from the dirt and muck to then be cleaned and refined? It was most definitely a difficult refining process, to be sure. The story is a beautiful story, so much so that we've considered it again. But who knows, aside from God, what we do know is that Ruby is our precious gem. Oh, I'm going to cry. God found her, preserved her, and continued to cherish her for her and through us. This is the kind of family that you're helping, Laura. This is a family that you've helped through your nonprofit. What is your hope? What do you see God doing with this in the future?
Well, and actually this family, they had gone on to do another adoption, and we were able to help them with their second adoption as well. So super
praise
sweet
God.
Story, super sweet couple. I know I need to do some updates. You reminded me, but you know, I think storytelling reminds me of our testimony. You know, scripture is clear that people will come to know the Lord by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so Jordan is this dad's name, and he is so precious with his words, but it is his testimony to truly be able to give it to give God the glory. And that's what I love. That's what I hope to inspire with anybody, that through God we can do hard things. And just because it doesn't look like everybody else's family, and just because we don't have the 1.8 children that the average is, and that we thought differently, and that we're not afraid to say yes, that's what I hope to inspire people. And again, we'll go back to that quote by Louis Giglio, to be more than just a good family, you know, to really to do great things for him.
Well, what are ways that people can be involved and support Inspiring Orphan Care, Laura?
So we have multiple events throughout the year. We also have monthly donations. So people kind of, you know, give monthly donors to where they just go ahead and just have like a $25, $20 a month automatic donation. And those people are just a great foundation because they just believe in the cause. And then when we have our event, we are in the early process of planning my next event, which would be a Kentucky Derby themed in Waco, Texas next year at Baylor's presidential suite at the McLean Stadium. And so we are looking to just, again, raise money, come to an event, businesses can get involved because we are a 501c3, so everything is tax exempt. And so we're looking for donors, businesses to partner with us, families who are willing to donate, and obviously people that come. And then another way is I cannot do it without my volunteers. Over the last 7 years, I have wonderful friends and family that if I just say I need your help, they just say, okay, we're here, whatever you need, from our gala to our fun runs. I have just people in my back pocket that I could not do without it. And then the lastly is just our prayer warriors. Actually, Jordan, his mom, Sheila, is my biggest prayer warrior. And so I know she's always praying for our event. She's always praying for the specific needs that I need to be able to cover these grants. Because here's the deal, Jessica, every year I get so many applications in. I mean, and it breaks my heart because I want to be able to help every single family, right? Mm-hmm. And so to be able to have more awareness, more people involved, to be able to build that bridge between the needs of these families and the donors is really what my heart's desire. And so those are some of the ways that people can get involved.
You know, it reminds me of that scripture, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And thinking the need is there, Laura, you and I see it. You know, you mentioned earlier working on a grant, and you and I worked on the same grant where we would see kids who were separated from their families in foster care. And we were working to try to either equip the families to be reunited or help the kids get adopted. And we see so much need, and we see a lot of families who want to help. But I'm really glad that you said what you said earlier, that it can be awkward to say it's really expensive, you know, how, and we've talked before to other adoption advocates who have talked about remortgaging their house. And, you know, this is not an inexpensive process. And so being able to help, even if you're not called to an adoption journey, if God has blessed you with finances to be able to help families who are doing that, or just prayer, like you said, is the most important thing. And I pray, and I want to pray for you right now, Laura. Let me go ahead and I just want to pray for you. I feel led to do that. Dear God, I just thank you so much for Laura. I thank you for her family. I thank you for the obedience that she has demonstrated in her life. God, I thank you for your faithfulness and for all of the details that you have worked out in her life and through her ministry. We thank you for Anna's life. We thank you for the nonprofit Inspiring Orphan Care. God, I pray for those families who are in the early stages of considering an adoption journey. God, I pray that you would give them wisdom. I pray that you would put people in their life who would speak words of life and encouragement and equipment to them, God, that they would be equipped with the knowledge and the resources that they need to follow the obedience to that call. God, I pray for those families who are in the heart of it, who are in the middle of their adoption journey, God, and are struggling with the trials that come along with that, with the difficulties. God, I pray that you would meet them in their point of need, that you would equip them to be compassionate and tender-hearted and kind, and that they would have endurance for the day, God, to help people and to help children who are healing from trauma. We know that you have created children to be resilient and that they can go on to have an incredible faith-based journey, God, and that you will call them, that you want them to come to you, God, and you will make a way for that to happen. God, I just continue to pray over over Inspiring Orphan Care, that you would bless it, that you would give it a season of blessing, God, that you would help them to continue to create miraculous stories of adoption. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Laura, what last words of encouragement would you like to share? I'll just let you say anything you want to say to close us out here.
Oh, thank you, Jessica. Well, first of all, I thank you for the opportunity to come along and share. It's not really the Butler story. It really is God's story. And I'm just grateful that he has called us, but he was so faithful to equip us as well. And we have a beautiful girl. She's 12 years old now and been thriving and doing well. But we know that he's not done with her story. So if you're thinking about adoption, just know that the Lord is so faithful that he is going to walk hand in hand with you and to be able to help you. But again, what can we do at the end of our life that we can look back and say yes, and that we were not afraid to get out of the boat and trust him? And that's what I want to encourage everyone today.
Amen and amen. And hey, listen, if you're looking for another way to bless children, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Operation Christmas Child is going on. I am working on my boxes as we speak. You can send a Christmas gift to a child somewhere around the world, maybe who has parents or maybe who doesn't. You might be sending a Christmas gift to a child who could change their life and change their world. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Well, listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I'll see you right here next time with more hope for healthy families. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.